Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming out on this snowy Sunday morning. I have one more introduction to the Apostle Paul's letter to his friends in Rome, and it is going to be our number four in our introduction in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Would you please turn with me to the letter to the Romans and Romans chapter 1. And I will start reading in verse 1. I'll read verse 1 through verse 7. And this is Romans chapter 1. My friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, hear the word of God. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith, for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my friends, we have been working through the seven themes that that's going to be repeated over and over and over again throughout Romans. We are going to do 5, 6, and 7 today. And the point that we will see is he is going to mention these over and over again. Now, he is not going to stop and say, oh, by the way, do you remember when I started my letter? He is just going to mention them. And we need to see that when you and I are reading through Romans, how these are being brought up again and again. He's pointing out concerns and how those concerns can be addressed and what we should give high priority to and less priority to. That this way, when we go through it, we are not going to be making up in our own mind what we think it means. We need to understand what Paul meant when he was writing to those believers in Rome. Once we understand that and understand that correctly, then we can take that truth and then utilize it ourselves in the circumstance and situations that you and I will be using it for today, with friends, with loved ones, in our work environment, in our everyday family. Today, we are going to look at number 5, number 6, and number 7. Number 5 on our list was the gospel message brings about obedience of faith. And that's primarily what the whole 5, 6, and 7 will be encompassing. Bringing about obedience. And it is for the sake of the one we love the most, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so does the gospel message produce? It's found in verse 5. It's for the sake of Christ. It produces your and my obedience. Number 6, it talks about proclaiming the gospel message is supposed to be the believer's mission. The gospel message is our mission. It said to the nations, which would be Jews and Gentiles. And what should be this bring about? How should this happen? It'll be found in verses 5 and 6. In particular, Paul was talking to believers who were in Rome, and they were Jews and Gentiles there, and so who have been called, which was verse 7, to the family of God. And then finally, in point number 7, theme number 7, the gospel message results in something. What should all of this produce? What should this end up being going? It should bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Our obedience is to the one we love, and when we obey him, it brings glory and honor to him. That will be seen throughout Romans. Those who don't, there will be a result. There will not be glory and honor brought to the Lord when you're not obedient. And he's going to start that here in chapter 1 and go all the way through chapter 3 and point that out. And then for those in chapter 4, when he starts going through chapter 4, it's Abraham was faithful. And what did he do? He brought glory and honor to God. And then he goes on and uses a bit of Moses. But you get the idea. You will see this theme over and over again, even though he isn't going to be saying, oh, do you remember when I first started my letter in Romans chapter 1 and verse? He won't do that. But you'll hear that truth being reiterated over and over again. So I'm going to ask you to start with me in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. And also, I'm going to ask you to keep your finger there and also open up to Romans 16. It's both of them. And I want you to see, he starts his letter with the gospel message brings about obedience of faith for the sake of Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at the gospel message brings about obedience. And it's because we love Christ. It's for Christ's sake. He's going to start in his letter, Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, and then he's going to end the letter talking about the same thing in his doxology. So that'll be Romans 16 and verse 26, but we'll turn to it. So notice with me first, we'll read Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. And verse 5 says, through whom we have received grace. So it's the believers have received the grace of God. Mercy has been given to you. And he says, an apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. And this obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, among everyone, that it will be evident through us. You will be different, the way you talk, the way you act. Now, would you please flip to me, with me to that Romans 16, 26. And we see the same truth in the doxology. The Apostle Paul's closing prayer for the believers in Rome ends with the same words and concern. Watch what he does. I'll start reading actually in verse 25. And I will read right through 27, and you will see it. It's the same thing. It's being ended with his concern in the beginning and his concern when he ends it. Verse 25, it's Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Verse 26, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings, it's something he mentioned also in chapter 1 there, has been made known to all the nations to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Even in his doxology, he's bringing this up, that there will be an obedience to the Lord. Because you love him. My friends, obedience is required from all of us. From me, from you. And the Apostle Paul was speaking about obedience that comes from your saving faith. That saving faith is always connected to our daily faith. Our daily holiness. If you want to be theological, we would call it progressive sanctification. What I mean by that is your daily sanctification, meaning you are obedient today, And tomorrow, you will be even more obedient. You are more obedient today than you were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You are more mature. You are walking the highway of holiness. You are attempting to love the Lord Jesus Christ more today than you did yesterday. You've continued to be in His Word, read His Word, have it touch your mind so you have it clearer in your mind, and then you start to employ it within your heart. You're convinced of it. And so the Apostle Paul was truly speaking about a spiritual transformation, a spiritually transformed life, which takes place daily within you and within me. This is what he was writing to his friends in Rome. He hadn't met them yet. It will be almost 2.5, almost 3 more years before he gets there. But this is what he was concerned about, that they would be godly men, godly women, that they would be obedient in all these things because of that transformation. It's a daily transformation because you spend time with the Lord daily. I know when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I think of is, thank you, Lord, you've given me breath, you've given me life, and I hope I'm in my own reasonable mind and that something hasn't gone wacky on me. Which means that we, all of us, should have our love and our faith founded in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you would be daily holy, that you would be daily obedient in your faith. And as verse 5 says, to bring about the obedience of faith. Your faith is your awareness of whom you love, and you want to show your love by being obedient. The Apostle Paul understood that you were given a gift. It mentions it in Romans, it mentions in Ephesians that you are given the gift of faith, and that faith which he has given you will produce something. It will produce holiness. Holiness is a product of Jesus Christ's redemptive work on the cross, and that gift of faith will have some spiritual ramifications in our lives. The Holy Spirit, who is part of that gift, who indwells you, we'll see that in Romans 8, he influences you with the truth from the Word of God as you read the Word of God. He makes it alive. It breathes within you. It's alive. It's active within you. And so, one of the ramifications of this faith that is given by Christ is that there will be faithful obedience to the Lord. You will be faithfully obedient. When you are disobedient, the Holy Spirit will convict you and cause you to say, why did I do that? That was the stupidest thing. I said the worst thing at the absolute perfect time. What in the world was I ever thinking? And then we confess our sin. We confess our stupidity. We go to the person, we apologize, or whatever the case is, because we want to be obedient to our Lord. And it is a daily obedience. And the Apostle Paul understood that the Holy Spirit would use his word to transform us so that we would be consistently obedient day in and day out. And this obedience to the Lord is a result of the gospel message having reached your mind and your heart. It changes us from the inside out. And that it changes us from having that stony heart that Jeremiah talks about, that stony heart, and gives us a heart of flesh that now beats for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he first loved us, and now we, in response, love him and show it through our faithful obedience. Would you notice then now, as we move from that to number six, which is proclaiming the gospel message is supposed to be the believer's mission. I am going to read verses 5 and 6 again, Romans chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And so I ask, where and when should the faithful in the Lord proclaim the gospel message? Where and when? It says, through whom we there is all believers, have received grace. And apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was driven to preach the good news message to the Jews and the Gentiles alike, those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. He preached the message to men, and he preached the message to women alike. He preached his message to slaves, and he preached it to free alike. His message was simple. Your only eternal help and hope is found in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 11 through 14, but the passages that are helpful are 13 and 14. In Romans 11, the Apostle Paul was asking a rhetorical question, which the believers should have known the answer to. And the reason I'm going to this, he's talking about how the gospel message is going out to the Jewish people and going out to the Gentiles. And so he says in Romans 11, verse 11, and so I ask, you hear the question? And so I ask, did they, that's the Jews, stumble in order that they might fall? That is, fall from God's good graces. And he answers the question with, by no means. Rather, through their trespasses, and that means your intentional sins, something you did intentionally, salvation has come to the Gentiles. And that it would have been, in this case, he's talking to the believers in Rome. So as to make Israel jealous. So what might the Jews have been thinking? How come the Gentiles are getting God's blessings? And we Jews, who are God's people, are now on the back burner. They thought because we are of Abraham's seed, we are following the laws of Moses, we're the inside players, and everybody else is on the outside. And Paul is turning this around. He's flipping this over. And so notice what he says in verse 12. Now, if there, that had been the Jews' trespasses, intentional sins, means riches to the world, and if their failure means riches to the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? The Apostle Paul knows that the gospel message brings blessings to whomever will believe it. Those spiritual blessings are considered riches because they represent a relationship with God the Father in heaven. The gospel which had gone out to the Jews first, in which they had received the physical and spiritual blessings of the Abrahamic covenant, which God the Father had promised to them for their obedience. And so now, upon their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as their king, the gospel message has been going out to the Gentiles since the first advent. Every believer today is receiving the spiritual riches of a personal relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, through the proclamation of the gospel that they, you and I, have believed. So in verse 13, now I'm speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Verse 14, in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. The Apostle Paul was following the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul obviously knew what the mindset was of the Jewish people. Imagine that, being a Pharisee, you think he had some kind of an inside clue? He knew how the Jews thought of themselves as being the children of Abraham and followers of Moses, making them the very blessed and exclusive people of God. Now, Paul was proclaiming that Jesus Christ has established a better covenant, which had better promises and better guarantees than those for those who trust in him for their salvation. And that salvation only was found in Christ alone, which was promised by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And that salvation, which the Scriptures spoke about, has now come to the Gentiles. Think of it. For all those previous years, the gospel message from the Old Testament went to whom? It was the Jews. And there might have been a peppering of a Gentile here or Gentile there that might have been included, but it was pretty exclusive. Now we're seeing a dynamic shift now that the gospel message is going to the Gentiles, and now it's gone to our day. It has literally gone around the world. It has come to the Gentiles, and the Jews are still going, no, 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 you don't have it right. They're still fighting against the gospel message. But Paul is hoping that gospel message that we are proclaiming, saying we have an intimate relationship with God now, and it's recognized through our obedience in our faith, that the Jews are being jealous. They're saying we're receiving now the promises, the Abrahamic promise through Christ. We have received the fulfilled Mosaic law through Christ. We are under Christ now, his prophet, priest, and king. He has fulfilled all those things, and we're under his blessings. We're receiving his riches. And Paul says, this will make them jealous because we're saying, we know and you don't know. You've missed it. Even though it came to you first, you missed it. And so Paul is hoping that his fellow Jews will become jealous, and in so doing, the gospel message would save many of them. And so what are we hearing from the Apostle Paul, from following him and what he's proclaiming? What he proclaimed was the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and I know many of you have this memorized. And Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, that's Christ, so therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that we are supposed to be what? Teaching them to, notice, observe all that I have commanded you. What are believers supposed to be doing? Observing all that Christ has commanded. We're talking about obedient faith. So the gospel message should bring about obedience of faith for the sake of Christ. That is why the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Rome to make sure that they were spiritually anchored in Christ alone. That is why believers today still should proclaim the gospel message to the nations and be anchored in Christ alone. Be anchored in what he called the new covenant, which he established in his blood. Number 7 that we will look at is the gospel message results in glory going to the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father in heaven. The gospel message should be, we should be bringing glory and honor to the Lord. We love him, and we should be bringing glory and honor to him. I am going to read two verses again. The first one is in Romans chapter 1, verse 7. And I'm going to read then the last one, Romans 16, 27. He starts with it. He ends with it. Notice it's Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul says to the believers in Rome, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. The word saints there means virtuous. Okay, virtuous. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see he ends with that same idea. It's Romans chapter 16, verse 27. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's part of the doxology. Do you see that? For those of us who are called, loved by God, that all glory and honor go to him. When God's faithful observe all that Jesus Christ has commanded them, when we observe and obey the Lord Jesus Christ commands, God's faithful saints, that's us who are virtuous or spiritually moral, are glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. A person cannot have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without acknowledging Jesus Christ as their Lord, as the master of their life. Now, I'm going to pause here a minute because someone will ask me inevitably, well, what about so-and-so? Now, I don't know so-and-so, but they don't do this, or they're doing that. What I respond and think through and encourage you as well, I put down new believers now have a learning curve. They need to be encouraged and taught about obedience from the Word of God for God. So us older believers need to watch and be patient, using every teachable moment which the Lord brings their way and our way. The reason I say this is this. All of us, and I include myself, we all grow in spurts. There are certain times when we'll be reading the Word and we'll eat it like candy. And then other times, it's like your mother saying, eat those Brussels sprouts, they're good for you. And it's like, yeah, here they are. You know, you get the idea. What it is we're growing in spurts. And sometimes you're reading something, some truth from the Word jumps out at you and you're going, wow, did you see that? And other times it's like, I didn't get anything out of that, but thank you, Lord. I just need to keep plowing and going ahead. There are many times when a person who just trusts in Christ, think of it this way, all of their experiences from their normal life have accumulated an amount of knowledge that they are now trusting. They've found these things to be true. They found these things to be false. And they're using those. That's their anchor. That's what they're holding on to. Now, we are encouraging them to acknowledge that, but now your new anchor is anchored in Christ. In fact, I love that Grace chose that song, My Anchor Holds. My anchor holds in Christ. So now, all of the truths that I am learning, those that I biblical truths that I am aware of, and those that I am not aware of, requires time. Time for me to be in the Word, time for me to think about those, and then to start to employ them. And Justin, may I use an example? I think it's something we were showing about wiring the other day.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Justin was helping me put in some lights in a basement. And I was showing them how to strip the wires, and not using a wire stripper, but a wire cutter. And if you do it properly, you can strip off the outer casing without cutting the wire. And I know, it was, Justin kept, he would try to strip it and, oh, he took the wire with it. Oh, okay, let's try again. And I don't know, it took you about a half hour or so, but you were working at it and practicing it. And eventually, you got it. But when you first started, how did you do this? I like Justin, there's another Justin that works there. He looked at me one time when I was doing it. I was stripping the wires, and he goes, you're doing it like a ninja. You know, you're just doing that. It's just pop it off, and you're doing it. Now, I know this is a poor example, and I didn't mean to pick on you, my friend. The same kind of principle is true when you and I are in the Word. The first time you try it, you're going to cut the wire instead of just take the insulation casing off. And then you're going to have to do it again. You're going to have to do it again, and you'll be frustrated. And it's a technique that you had to learn. The technique is not wrong, it's just we haven't practiced it. How much do you and I practice the Word of God? Our new anchor. This is what we know to be true. This is our new anchor. But what happens is, in our mind, we still rely on all that old accumulated practical knowledge that we pulled up. Does our anchor hold now in Christ as we acknowledge all the old stuff, but now we rely on the new? You will not feel comfortable because you want to still hold on to the old because you've trusted it your whole life. But Scripture says now hold on to what is eternal. And because it's new to us, we may not feel comfortable in it. In the same way, Justin and I spent the day but you got it. You got it. It took a while. So didn't mean to pick on you, but in my mind, it's one of those examples that is very, very practical. Something that I tried to do it, it didn't work. And I kept saying, no, you got to do it this way. It's a little bit different. You have to practice it. And we need to encourage friends, loved ones, family, whatever, that they'll watch you. They'll watch you do it. And I said, yeah, I saw him do it. I saw him do it. But you try to do it and it doesn't work because you have to practice it. And after a while, you get it. And that's now you and I holding on to a truth from the Word of God as we practice it. And we start using it. We rely on it. And now that becomes your anchor, and the other stuff starts falling away. You no longer do that old stuff, and because you're holding on to the new. I don't want to say improved, new and improved, as in some. No, it's all new, and it's all new in Christ. And so we do this for this reason. Paul was mentioning something out of verse 5. And it's Romans 1:5, and he says, the Apostle Paul's ultimate goal in preaching and teaching the believers in Rome was for the sake of Christ's name. The word name in verse 5, Romans 1:5, the word means here his reputation, his honor. A professing believer should be observing and obeying Christ's command because of you are representing him. So we are honoring his reputation. We are honoring him in the way that we live, we conduct ourselves. But as we put on that new anchor of the way we understand biblical truth. We're honoring him for who he is by the way that we obey in faith. And so obedience can be outwardly evidenced in a believer's inner spiritual heart as in our heart and our mind for the Lord Jesus Christ. This spiritual change in our inner spiritual lives should bring glory and honor to the Lord. My friends, we are the bride of Christ. Do you honor your husband-to-be for his namesake, for his reputation, and for his honor? That's something that each of us has to answer within our own mind and within our own heart. And that may be something that we will wrestle with. How will I do that? How will I practice it? I may fail. I may stumble. As Justin and I were kidding, well, we're cutting the wire instead of stripping the wire. We have to practice it. And some days we do better, and other days it's not so much. My friends, it is about you loving him. And this is what we were covering in Paul's, in these first seven verses, those seven themes. Paul saying he was a servant of Christ, which should recommend to you and me that we are servants of Christ or slaves of Christ. Paul said he had apostolic authority. That would mean to write the word of God, so that when you and I read the word of God, we take it as authority. Number three was Paul mentions the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures and the proclamation of the gospel. We see that Jesus Christ has fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. What was the verse? Luke 25. I shouldn't do this off the top of my head. Where Christ says in Luke 24, where he says, all these scriptures speak of me. Look it up when you get home or something later today. Where Christ actually is at the end of Luke 24 says, all of these things speak of me. So anyways, number four, Paul mentioned the gospel is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, this gospel message brings about the obedience of faith, which we were talking about. It's for his sake. Number six was proclaim the gospel message is supposed to be the believer's mission. So when you and I talk to friends, loved ones, we're sharing the gospel with them. That doesn't mean you jam it down their throat, because it will not have any result. You'll just choke them to death and they won't listen. But you share it with them and you be friends with them. You love them. And then finally, this is all done for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, please consider whom you love. And that the best thing we can do to love him is to obey him by faith. Shall we close our time in prayer? Thank you again, Father, for our brother Paul, who had been very, very clear about what is expected of us and had desired to teach us to love you, to adore you, to worship you, and to give you all the glory and all the honor for what you have accomplished and whom you have graciously allowed us to participate in your family. We love you, we adore you, we desire to give you all the glory, all the honor, and we pray all of this in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.